Welcome to Say What. Today we're interviewing Mr. David Anderson. He is the outgoing president of the High Priest Quorum. And so let's just get started. So we have a few getting to know you questions, and these are the questions we ask everybody. They're a little fun and kind of random. So
I do want to ask first, how are you?
Good. It's I'm calling or calling in from Oregon. It's kind of a cold day, and we're expecting
Oregon.
a snowstorm tomorrow. So,
Ooh, we're actually kind of warm today.
yeah,
So we're kind of exact opposites right now.
we're thousands of miles apart. It's wonderful to be able to talk.
Yeah. So to get started, would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
Well, first of all, I have to figure out what a zombie apocalypse is, but I guess I think so. I would survive one. Particularly if the zombies are the slow stumbling kind of zombies, but
Oh, yeah.
if they're the super fast high jumping building climbing nightmare fuel kind, then it might be problematic. I'm pretty quick going to the refrigerator during a commercial break, and in Montana where I grew up, we used to have a little gallows humor with our guests when we went up into the mountains. In bear country, grizzly bear country, we'd say, you know, I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. And
Yes,
so I guess
exactly.
if I'm with fast moving zombies, I just have to run faster than the person I'm with. How about you? Are you fast runners?
She is. I am. I'm not, I don't have any like training. Like anything or anything like that, so I can't beat someone on the track meet, but I'm faster than my family, so
Okay.
that would work. Although if they were the fast moving wall climbing kind of zombies, I think I would go insane first.
Yeah, well, you'd probably make it to the second season at least.
Probably. I die. I'm dead. Someone's possible. So what part of a driver's test do you think you would most likely fail or at least perform poorly in?
Well, the one I'd be most concerned about is a right turn on red, believe it or not. There's a major intersection by our house, and it's very confusing because it's has a green turn arrow, but on top of the little light stand, there's a red stop light. And my neighbor got a $350 ticket because she turned right without stopping. And so I don't know what I would do because every time I come up on it, there's that green turn arrow with a red sign or red light. And so I would probably stop, but it's not very intuitive. So anyway,
Yeah.
That would be my major concern.
Do you ever talk to inanimate objects?
I talk to trees all the time.
You talk to trees.
Yeah, I love trees, and I find them fascinating, particularly kind of old, big oak trees and things. We have lots of white oak here, and I often sit down under their limbs, and I ask questions like, if you could tell me a story about, you know, the old times, as long as it's lived, what kind of story would you tell me? And so I kind of imagine where we are and kind of think about the tree's history and where it's at. And so, yeah, I like trees. So anyway, it's good kind of therapy and kind of a spiritual practice I have.
You know, I actually really like trees too. I haven't, you know, tried talking to one, but I don't necessarily think of them as inanimate. But oak trees are my favorite. Live oaks are the ones that are around our area. And they're beautiful. They're large and have twisty branches.
Sure.
They're like the perfect.
You gotta try to talk to one, see what it says to you.
They're also kind of really perfect to hang tire swings from. So
oh, yeah, there you go.
Very tasty tree.
Nothing like a good tire swing.
Yeah. We had one that had branches extended right over our house. That tree is the reason I like live oak trees, is because I don't know if it was a branch from the same tree or a branch from a different tree, fell and would have landed on our house if the tree hadn't been right above it.
Wow.
And then, so, another random question. What is the weirdest dream you've ever had?
That's a real difficult question because I don't remember dreams very well. I know a lot of people do, but I don't remember much about my dreams. I probably would say to answer your question is the dream I had when I jumped out of an airplane without a parachute.
Ooh.
Yeah. So anyway,
That's really
I'm still falling, and I don't know what that means. Obviously, there are lots of, there are some ways of kind of looking at dreams and how they mean, what they mean in one's life. But anyway, that's probably the weirdest dream, is jumping out of an airplane without a parachute.
Although I do think that 90% of my dreams are just nonsense. So I've had some really, really strange ones, and I don't want to go into it right now, but they're really they are. Mine are a little bit less strange than hers, but definitely in their own way kind of strange. But that would take forever to talk about. So we do want to ask you a few questions about your bio. You served in the Air Force for 30 years. I myself am considering going in that direction. What made you want to join the Air Force, and how has it influenced your ministry?
Well, I grew up in Montana, and I wanted to attend the Air Force Academy in Colorado. One of the service academies. And I wanted the experience of the education and the whole person concept of, the opportunities it unveiled regarding leadership and scholarship, academics, and the experiences of, flying, soaring, jumping out of airplanes. So I never joined the Air Force to make a career out of it. It was just one opportunity and one experience led to another. And I woke up one morning and I'd served 30 years. And to answer the question, how has it influenced my life and ministry? Absolutely significant. It's part of who I am. I had wonderful experiences, wonderful people that I met along the way. I had a sense of call. I felt that there were a couple of times where I was going to get out, and a sense that God was calling me to stay in the service and to continue to serve in that way. So yeah, it's helped my ministry a lot. I've met a lot of church people over the years, learned foreign language or foreign languages in the service. I learned, spent most of my, academic degrees were in the service. The service helped pay for them. So it gave me wonderful experiences, wonderful opportunity of ministry around the world, met wonderful people. And as I said, it's a large part of who I am.
You earned Sweden's Royal Order of the Polar Star and the Santos Dumont Merit Award from Brazil. How did you gain these awards?
Well, again, it was in the Air Force. I was in Sweden at three different times. Two of the three times I was a defense and Air Force attaché. And the last time was from 2002 to 2000, no, 2001 to 2004. And I was the defense and air attaché as well as the chief of Air Force for, or defense cooperation. And so I did a lot of work between the United States military and the Swedish Defense Department, a lot of cooperation, defense cooperation. And this award was is given to people who have de demonstrated helping Sweden with and the U.S. Air Force and helping solidify cooperation between the two air forces and defense ministries. As
That's
far
the one with
as
the fancy name, right?
was that?
That's the one with the fancy sounding name, right?
Yeah, well, it's shared by the king provides that, so I was able to meet the king.
Oh, that's why it's called that. Okay.
Then the Santos Dumont Award is Brazilian, and I was the chief of Air Force foreign liaison at the Pentagon. So I did a lot of work with Air Force attachés around the world. And I did some work with the Brazilians and the Air Force with them, and it's recognized as achievement in aerospace cooperation and contribution to Brazilian Air Force aeronautics.
Nice. Yeah. Honestly, with all those fancy sounding with those fancy titles and fancy sounding names, do you ever get like embarrassed about that, or is that just, something in the back that exists?
Well, you two are the only ones who have ever asked me what those were. Obviously people I know knew about them, but as far as people asking about them, this is the first opportunity I've had to share what those were really, outside of the circles in which I engage. So yeah, I had wonderful opportunities. It's not that I was anyone special. I just did my job, did the best I could to help cooperation between the countries, and that was kind of one of the benefits that I received.
So you travel a lot, or you have traveled a lot, and you love to go camping,
Yes.
both of which are two things that we love to do as well. So, what is your favorite place to go camping?
Wherever I'm at,
Okay.
it's, I love camping. I love being at different places. But if you force me to choose camping locations, the best places, I'd have to choose either between Scandinavia, Norway and Sweden, or Scotland. And
You're
if
probably
you force me to
fine.
choose between those, it would probably be Scotland, just because of the circumstances at the time I went, etc. It rained every day. We never wore anything less than a heavy sweater, but it was just really delightful. Really delightful. The weather, the people, the countryside, the locations of the camping, just a wonderful experience.
Scotland is beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never been, but I've that's one of the like top 10 destinations for me to go and see, because like the beautiful landscape and some of the and many of the ruins that
Oh.
are two things that I'm very interested in.
Well, I'd really encourage you to do it. It's really wonderful. It's beautiful. Just make sure you bring a sweater and a stocking cap and layer up. And recognize you get attacked by midges, these little insects that are get into everything, and they kind of
Oh
bite you,
yeah.
nip you. But it's still fun.
Yeah, we got mosquitoes here, so
Yeah.
we are no stranger to biting insects.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we love to go camping, and we have a lot of funny stories, like raccoons stealing marshmallows and more raccoons, lots of raccoons. This one time, we saw a bobcat up in the trees. So, do you have any interesting or funny stories from going camping?
Well, I have a bear story, but that's beside the point. But I probably the most interesting or I guess exciting one was my encounter with a chipmunk.
Ooh, chipmunk.
Yeah, chipmunk. We were camping near Mount Hood in Oregon, and there were chipmunks everywhere. I got up one early morning to start the fire for or start the grill for breakfast, and it's one of those where you kind of turn the knob and the lighter clicks and then it lights. Well, I did that, and all of a sudden I heard a skirmish, and there was a chipmunk looking up at the grill through me. We were eyeball to eyeball about that far away, maybe about 6 inches. It scared the dickens out of me, and it scared the chipmunk because evidently he'd gone there in the morning to get some scraps of food, and it was lit with a little fire going. So his little tail, his little body was probably pretty warm. But anyway, I opened up the grill really quick. The chipmunks jumped out, ran up to the tree. And anyway, I went face to face with a chipmunk, and we scared both of us. And he's probably telling people or his chipmunks in his podcast about that experience with a human. But anyway, it's a good story.
You graduated from four universities and hold several degrees. How do you feel your many degrees have prepared you for your positions in the church?
Well, that's a good question. I suppose it's not necessarily the 4 degrees, it's the experiences that I gained with the 4 degrees. The experience I lived overseas and studied abroad, the wonderful experience I had in Sweden and studying with other young adults, studying foreign affairs, political science, international affairs, the experience of knowing the importance of cooperation between cultures and peoples, importance of language, studying for my master's degree in international public policy, learning the importance of, as I said, international cooperation, the importance of peace is covered and accomplished in the international community. My study in Christian ministry, importance of preaching and teaching, importance of theology and spiritual formation, all very important part of the experiences that I gained were important to church employment and living out my life as a human being. So it's not necessarily the degrees as much as it is the experience of having
Yeah.
the encounters with other students.
Do you have any like stories from that? From like experiences?
Well, I do. I have a story when I was in Sweden studying peace and war conflict, and having me being in the military, being an A-10 pilot, and my instructors were peace activists, and how we engaged together and realized, good discussion in class. And one of the students was also a political refugee from Poland, had fled Poland during the Cold War, and was very opposed to the Russian occupation of basically of the Warsaw Pact. And his engagement in the process was all very important to helping us understand peace and war and the conflict of community and the conflicts that humanity has engaged in over the years. So yeah, good discussion. Various opinions and thoughts. But yeah, I have wonderful experiences and stories, but too long and too many for this engagement. But yeah, wonderful
Yeah.
stories.
So, what did you most enjoy about working for the church?
The people
The people.
and the best things that they gave to their communities, but how they blessed me. I traveled from, all over the world, Japan to Korea to Africa to Siberia, all the places in Europe, the UK, Canada. Never made it to South America, unfortunately, but all the people I met blessed me. Their willingness to be disciples, their love of Christ, their desire for community, and just a wonderful experience to encounter all the different food because I enjoy eating. And cultures and all, just a wonderful experience. People
I
were
get
very.
the feeling you're a people person. I
Well, I try to be. I hope I am, but yeah, I love people and I like being around people.
We have traveled all over America, and I can relate to the sentiment of the people being the most wonderful thing, 'cause we have engaged in youth ministries all over the place, and we meet people there. So when we're traveling, we find churches. We're like, there's a friendly face that I know because I've been to SPEC and I've been to Texas and I've been
World
to
World
Conference.
Conference.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. That's, I encourage you to keep doing that. Travel as much as you can. You gain a lot of experiences, a lot of perspective, a lot of differences of opinion and thoughts, and it's very enlightening to have that engagement.
Yeah. So you served as a director of human resources for the church. What were some of the challenges you faced?
Well, I first of all, I want to say I had a wonderful we had a wonderful team in our office and wonderful boss, and just it was a wonderful 4-year experience. But it was also challenging and demanding, and I would say it was during a time of financial crisis for the church, and so downsizing and trying to figure out how to downsize members of our community and family, and how to ensure that those who remained had sufficient benefits and privileges and opportunities for things like health care and retirement and all of the issues that human resources deals with. How to hire people to ensure that the church and the mission continued even in the midst of downsizing. So it was a challenging time for me. But I was blessed by people and the experiences I had.
But like you said, financial crisis. Do you know the like the cause of said financial crisis, or like was it just kind of it just happened?
Well, I think just lots of reasons. We're people, we're a church that receives the blessings of people's generosity. And people are very generous, but the donor base gets smaller and smaller. And, it's not something peculiar to our church. It's all of Christianity churches in the US and other places in Europe, for example, are facing the same shrinking budget. So it was an issue to do with the budget. I wouldn't say that I couldn't blame it on any one cause other than just the budget. We needed to get smaller and smaller, and the donor base was getting smaller and smaller. People are very generous in our church, and we're very appreciative of that.
So now I guess it's time to get into business. So we know that the priesthood offices of priest and high priest are very different, but how exactly are they different?
Well, I guess to simply state it, the high priest is someone who's a minister of vision. They're to model servant ministry and leadership and help develop leaders in the world, worldwide church. The priest is a very important priesthood call. They are ministers of presence, who model Jesus in households and families and congregations. So the priest deals with the congregation, families, and communities and households, dealing being a ministry of presence, of being a pastor, of sharing the modeling aspects of Jesus as friend. The high priest is someone who helps model servant leadership by helping develop leaders in the worldwide context, in the mission center, in the fields of the church, or in the worldwide church. So they're able to help develop, encourage, facilitate, connect people together in building bridges within larger context than the priest does. So very significant differences in ministry, both very, very important.
So what, Cassie? I'm trying to remember who the who, I'm trying to remember the priests in our congregation. Oh, I can never remember. And the high priest. Do you know the high priest? I can never remember who anybody is.
Well, sometimes that's the case. What's important is that they're offering the ministry they're called to and providing and sharing with the people of the community about those being ministers of presence or ministers of vision. So
Yeah. I can remember who the pastor is. That's easy
so
enough. So I'll have to try that. Go ahead, Cassie.
okay. As a high priest, what form of ministry do you particularly enjoy?
I think it's evolved over some time. I think the most thing that really gives me joy is to help people find and grow their giftedness. In other words, help people and find out what really gives them joy and passion and excitement, whether it's music or teaching, or whether it's just being with people and helping them find that and helping them grow that giftedness in the context of the church and in their community. That's what really gives me a joy and a particular excitement in my life. I'm beginning to feel the importance of fostering wholeness and spiritual growth. So helping people find a presence, finding God's presence in their lives, and then helping encourage them to grow and to open themselves up to that loving presence.
I love both of those examples you gave. See, like nurturing people, basically.
Yeah, I mean, basically helping them live out their lives and grow their giftedness. That's kind of what gives me joy is to help that process. Because everyone's gifted. Everyone has wonderful gifts to give, and you just need to find what those are and what their passion is. Like this passion is for you. You enjoy this, and Blake's doing that. He's helping you. So wonderful. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Praise music is one of the ones that I particularly love finding and doing. Praise music.
What kind of music? Praise music?
Praise music.
Yeah, good. Well, wonderful. Well, I encourage you to do that and to engage in it and to bless the community.
You also served as a mission center president. Which mission centers or mission center did you preside over?
Well, I started out being, I retired from the Air Force, and then I was president and mission center financial officer for the Chesapeake Bay Mission Center, which covered Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C., a little bit of West Virginia. And then I went to Europe. I was mission center president for Western Europe, which covered many of the countries in Europe. And then I became the mission center president for Eastern Europe, which was primarily Ukraine and Russia. And then I served as a apostolic assistant and helped with ministry in the United Kingdom.
You've been all over the place.
Yeah, I really had wonderful opportunities, wonderful stories, wonderful people I met, wonderful food.
And all this moving around, remind me, where were you born and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cut Bank, Montana. It's a little town just about 20 miles south of the Canadian border, about 3,500 people time, lived in on a farm, rural community, and our closest priesthood members to the church were 120 miles away, and we were a little congregation, a little mission there, a little group of saints. So I had wonderful, wonderful counselors and youth camps and reunions. We didn't have spec back then, but I had wonderful experiences at youth camps and reunions and wonderful people that blessed me.
Very far north, very cold, very different from where
Yeah.
we are now. So, what was your favorite part of being a Mission Center president?
Again, the people. Met wonderful people from all over. Couldn't speak to them in many because they were, spoke Russian speakers, native Russian speakers, but we communicated through the spirit. We had translators. We had a kinship, a acknowledgement that we were sisters and brothers in Christ. I enjoyed working with pastors and helping encourage them to become pastors. I was kind of a pastor's pastor, so I helped with that and enjoyed helping them find fruitfulness in their work and give them encouragement. I enjoyed the travel and seeing different places and people.
So do you speak different languages?
Well, I was taught and learned Swedish. I used Swedish in Sweden, went through language school. I learned Spanish at the academy and then learned French in Rome, Italy, for a year and a half. But if you ask me if I speak fluently, I speak fluently in English, I hope. Swedish, some, and French and Spanish, I've kind of lost. A little bit of quite a bit of it, but yes, I have had exposure to various foreign languages.
Yes, as a homeschooler for foreign languages, Duolingo is probably my best friend right now.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to go with, travel too and get an experience of travel. Yeah. Wonderful.
So you're also the outgoing president of the High Priest Quorum. What do you hope retirement holds for you?
Well, I actually retired now. I retired 5 years ago. So, the question I've kind of re let me rethink that what do I hope once I leave this office? I guess I'm reminded of the statement. One of my favorite statements I've heard recently is, "You can't tell me what to do. You're not my grandchild."
I love that.
I kind of look forward to just spending time with my teenage grandkids, helping them and their lives and help them flourish. My youngest grandchild at the moment's about 2 years old, so I enjoy spending time with her. So that's what I hope, is spend more time with family and grandkids. But also, I teach at the seminary. I'm a facilitator with the Spiritual Formation Companion Program, and I teach Christian theology, so I have to do more of that. So I hope to kind of explore where my giftedness lies in different ways.
So, what were some of your responsibilities in this role?
Well, my primary responsibility was to be a mentor and to help provide ministry and support to the high priest within the quorum. So I would travel and do that. One of my re major responsibilities was to kind of chair and be president of the High Priest Quorum during World Conference, when we met in session as a quorum, and kind of lead us through the various businesses of the church. I also was a member of the, as the president of the High Priest Quorum, a member of the World Church Leadership Council. And so I would go to Independence for a couple of times a year, or meet in on Zoom and serve on that council and support of the first presidency and other members of the quorums and councils, to provide, guide the church in its ministry and administration.
So like you were kind of like the guidance in this.
Yeah, I didn't have any really administrative authority as the mission center, as the president of High Priest Quorum. It was more of just mentor and help guide and teach what a high priest did, and kind of help them provide ministry in the context in which they served. So it was more of a guide, I guess, or counselor, or but I didn't have any administrative authority as the president of the High Priest Quorum. More of a mentor, teacher.
What is something you are not going to miss about being the president of the High Priest Quorum?
I mean, that's a good question. I enjoy every part of the role, but I think I acknowledge it's time for me to do something different. It's, kind of that when that happens, it's time for others to offer their talents and service and ministry to the church. So I'm not going to miss anything really, because it's time for me to go.
I mean, but there's nothing wrong with enjoying your job, though, so.
Right. And I'm going to miss being with the people, and I'm going to miss engaging, but I'm going to be with people in other ways. So it's just that, life is full of transitions and opportunities and new beginnings and ends and things. And I think you all both know that you just kind of stay flexible and look for the next opportunity to do ministry and service and to be with the people.
Yeah. As for what his retirement looks like, Salem, Oregon.
Travel, and I have a little traveling cabin, I call it, a little RV, and spend a lot of time with, as much as I can with grandkids,
That sounds
and
lovely. Never thought of calling it that, a traveling cabin.
I call it my roving cabin. We call it. So anyway, we like it.
Did you feel that this role was perfect for you when you first moved into it?
I wouldn't call it kind of like perfect. I would call it, I sensed a call to share ministry that way. So
But like, were you scared? Were you hesitant? Did you feel like doubtful or unworthy, but or were you confident in where you were?
I'm one who is always somewhat I wonder, I guess I was confident in some ways and hesitant in other ways. Can I do this job well? Can I provide the ministry that people need? Are there
Very
ways that I can
diplomatic
improve on my ministry? So I
answer.
asked all of those important questions. I do kind of, I guess, doubted, but I was also sensed the confidence that that's where I was called at that moment and at that time.
A very healthy kind of hesitance and a very diplomatic answer.
Well, I think that we're all that way, are we not? Don't you feel that way too? Yeah, and I think that's healthy.
Right here. Yes, I am. What have you learned about yourself in your time as president of the High Priest Quorum?
Well, I could say I learned myself that I'm a hot mess. No, I guess I was reminded many times during my experience just to relax and be myself in the role, not try to be someone else in the role. I was reminded to enjoy the moment of every moment, every breath, every experience. Reminded to be attentive to how God was in my life and how I was blessed by others. And then constantly reminded that not only to relax and be myself, enjoy the moment, be attentive to God in my life, but just do the best I could with what I had to work with. And that was sufficient. So that was what I learned constantly and reminded as I served in that capacity, as well as in other capacities too.
Do you have any advice for the new president of the High Priest Quorum?
Well, as you may know, Jen Kilpak has been identified as the new president and my successor, if approved by the World Conference. And she's been one of my counselors during my service. She's done a great job, and I know she'll do a great job. So, to answer the question, I really don't have advice for her because I know she'll do a good job. But I guess if I was to say anything, it would be what I learned about myself. Importance of relaxing, being attentive to God's presence, be yourself, enjoy the moment, and do the best with what you have to work with in the circumstances of your life, and that is sufficient.
Yeah. So she's listening. He totally believes in you. You're gonna do great.
Yeah, she'll do great. And I'm always here for her. I think one of the important parts of leadership and discipleship is to be engaged in the lives of others and to be committed to their successes as disciples.
So what advice would you give a young person hoping to pursue a life of ministry within the church?
It's a really good question. Can I rethink that? I'd like to kind of look at it differently, the question differently. What advice would I give to any of your listeners and to any
Yeah,
young
sure.
people out there in their discipleship? It's the same thing that I remind myself and Jen. Be attentive to God in your life, nurture that. Importance to relax and breathe deeply. Be yourself. Enjoy the moment, every breath, and do the best you can. But I'd add some couple other things that I would add to all of your readers and to everyone that I come across this, and I try to tell myself this, is be a sponge. In other words, be curious about the world around you. Just soak it up. Whatever circumstances you are, wherever you find yourself, just soak up all of the rich promises that you have, all of the education, all of the experiences. Take every door you can. Be curious and be exploratory, develop relationships. So be a sponge is one. And the other one is be a flower and blossom wherever you're planted. So life circumstances are not always easy. You end up in places that you didn't plan. But what you do is you just be a flower and you blossom wherever you're at. So if you're interviewers on podcast, just blossom where you are and do the best you can and be attentive to God's spirit in your life. And the other thing is not only be a sponge and be a flower and blossom is when, not if, but when you're given the dull end of a stick, kind of given lemonade, lemons, you make lemonade kind of experience. When you have the given the dull end of a stick, you just sharpen it, do the best with what you have. So just
Yeah.
smile. Be happy, be gracious, and be helpful to all those around you.
Kind of a go with the flow kind of answer.
Yeah, go with the flow, but also be above the flow. You move,
Yeah.
you don't go against the flow, but you help others in their flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, good synopsis.
So, okay, last question. If you could have coffee or tea, whichever you prefer, with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be?
Well, it's a good question. It would be coffee for me. I like coffee. And if my wife ever listens to this, I would say the best person I have coffee with is my wife early in the morning when we get up before the day starts. But I know that's not the purpose of the question. If it was in Christian history, I'd love to talk to Apostle Paul. He was a writer, traveler, kind of a pastor on the fly, theologian. I'd love to sit down and have coffee with him. If it's American history, I would love to have coffee with Meriwether Lewis of the famous Lewis and Clark expedition. I'd love to, yeah, he's, really got a lot of stories about him, which we don't have time to go into, but I'd love to have coffee with Meriwether Lewis. If it was the Community of Christ, I'd love to have coffee with Marietta Walker. She was known, or it's known as the kind of the mother of Graceland University. She had kind of a tough life, but she was a woman committed to higher education and community service, and she was a trailblazer in her day. So I'd like to just have coffee with Marietta Walker. And if it was my family history, I'd like to go have coffee with my great grandma Seymour. When I was at your age, a teenager, she was 90. I was not, when I was your age, she was 90 some, and I never really sat down to have coffee with her. I sat with her at church. We sang songs. I was kind of enjoyed her presence, but I really never sat down and talked about her dreams. And she was lived on the Great Plains of Montana, lost her husband, raised three kids out there on the prairie on a little farm. So I'd really like to sit down to my, with my great grandma Seymour, all 4'11" of her.
I think that's all we have today.
Okay,
So
well,
thank you
thank
for being
you.
here,
Well, thank
and
you.
our pleasure. You're
And
really nice.
I hope this conversation is useful to you and your readers. I'm very thankful and sure have immense gratitude for my experiences in the church and all the people that blessed me over the years, from teenagers to older adults to ministers.
Okay. Thank you, listeners, for listening in, and don't forget to put on your full armor of God and walk in peace.
Amen.